Pete, how are you?
I want to thank you, first of all, for your leadership and transparency with the press conferences every single day. You really, really have stepped up your game.
Well, I really appreciate it. We're trying very hard to make sure we get information out to the public and, of course, that people understand how we're making decisions and of course, the experts and the science that we're relying upon.
When you were running for governor, we got to know each other pretty well because you were on my show a lot. And sitting across from me, we'd talk about jobs, unemployment, health care. Can you believe that we're now talking about just keeping people alive? How do you ever prepare for something like this?
Yeah, we weren't talking about novel coronavirus or a pandemic, that's for sure. Look, this is an extraordinarily challenging time for everyone. And, we've had, terrible circumstances, deaths across the state. People are getting sick, and it's extraordinarily difficult for everybody from an emotional and physical perspective. And I'm trying to manage both, how we address the virus and keeping our healthcare institutions open while also dealing with the enormous financial and economic challenge that's come from the fact that this virus knows no boundaries and it's infected people, from close contact. And so we've had to, the stay-at-home order is not something that I ever thought I would ever be asking people to do, but it is working.
Right. Governor, on a scale from 1 to 10, how do you think Chicago is doing?
I think people are abiding by the stay-at-home order for the most part. Again, we've got opportunities for people to, go outside, do whatever they want to do, but not on the lakefront because people have really not obeyed the rules around social distancing there. And, that was a decision made by the mayor, of course. But it's important that people understand that, even walking by someone face to face, if you're not wearing a mask and you're not keeping 6 foot distance, you are putting other people at risk and frankly, putting yourself and your family at risk. So when you ask me how are people doing, for the most part, I think people are doing a terrific job of following the rules. I wish that those other people who are not following the rules would learn, just how dangerous they're making it for others.
And if they followed the rules, that we could bend that curve faster. Every time you're on the show, I grew up in Peoria, I lived in Rockford, I now live in Chicago. You said that April 30th is a magical day when you're going to decide if you're going to start opening things up. Why April 30th?
Yeah, there's really no magic to it. But as we put the stay-at-home order in place, and then realize a couple of weeks later, you remember we were the second state in the United States to put our stay-at-home order in place. And I think that's what's really helped us bend the curve in a significant way, people following that. Now, we had to re-up that rule, that stay-at-home order, until April 30th. And we did that back in the beginning or near the beginning of April. So as we're heading into May, we're going to have to look at, well, what restrictions do we need to retain and what could we give people as an opportunity, to change the rules and allow people to do more. We're looking at all that, talking again to the epidemiologists and also trying to figure out how we can get people back to work and, do whatever we can to get the economy going again. But you have to remember, we are not near our peak yet. We thought that the peak might be in mid-April or perhaps in the third week of April, but the reality is that it now appears that it's going to be several more weeks
right
until we hit the peak. So April 30, nothing magic about it. The important magic here is when will we peak and when will we have 14 straight days of downward movement in all the numbers so that we can begin to move into reopening the economy.
Now, Governor, do you look at city by city? Because I think Peoria is on the downward curve, maybe Washington, the smaller cities. Do you look at the smaller cities first and then move up to Chicago once we have those 14 days?
Yeah, we're looking at the entire state in regions, in cities, in counties to try to determine which areas are the real hot spots, which areas, are not as big a concern. I think the most important thing here is that, what you don't want to have happen is a spike in cases. And again, we're still climbing this coronavirus peak. You don't want to have a spike in cases and not have enough hospital beds or ICU beds or ventilators available for people. So that's the big thing that we're evaluating. If you want to know, when people are thinking, how is Pritzker thinking about the future and when things will reopen? The most important numbers that we track really are not the case numbers, because we're not doing enough testing. Nobody in the entire United States is doing enough testing. We need to really ramp that up. But the most important numbers that we watch are hospitalizations, because look, people aren't avoiding the hospital. They may be avoiding getting a test done, or they may not be able to get a test done. But, when you're sick enough to go to the hospital, you're going. And so that hospitalization number, the ICU numbers, and the ventilator numbers, those are the things that we watch closely. And as you are pointing out, things are, bending and hopefully flattening, but we haven't yet hit a peak.
We're talking to Governor J.B. Pritzker. You picked up the phone, called your guys over at Abbott Labs. The next day, they were making rapid tests. How did that conversation go? And as a businessman, that's one of the things that you talked about when you ran for governor, that you had connections all over the state. And that's a perfect example right there.
Well, I appreciate you recognizing that. Most important thing is that Abbott developed this rapid test. And as soon as we knew that they were going to become available, I got on the phone. And look, the people who run Abbott, they're good people, and they know that this is their home, and they want to do good things for the state of Illinois. So they were very responsive, and I really give them a lot of credit. Now, as we're ramping up testing, Abbott is an important part of that.
Tell me about the private jet flying into China, picking up PPE. You were fed up, Illinois needed supplies, and you made it happen.
Well, we could not get things out of China. That's number one. Number two, we had a problem with there were federal government coming in and seizing shipments that were coming to the United States because they wanted to, for FEMA or somebody else. And at the same time, they're telling the states that we need to acquire our own PPE. So, we're competing with everybody. We're even competing with other countries. We're competing with the federal government. We're competing with every state. So we just took it upon ourselves to protect the PPE that we know that we had acquired. And we had to do it by chartering planes to go and pick up the goods that we need and bring it back to Illinois. And I'm very proud of the fact that we have millions of items of PPE that have already arrived and will be shipped out as soon as they're fully checked out. And then we've got another shipment that's coming in tomorrow. And I'm very proud to say that, millions more items of PPE will be here by the end of tomorrow.
Why is there such a huge disconnect between the state of Illinois and the federal government and the state of New York and the federal government? I feel like you and Governor Cuomo are the squeaky wheels. And once you're heard, we get the items.
Well, the truth is, I talk to governors on both sides of the aisle. I know a lot of them very well, Republicans and Democrats, and they're all having the same problem. I mean, it's just a question of whether you're willing to stand up and say it or not. They all have the same problems. I talked to a Republican governor who had a shipment seized. I've talked to a Republican governor who can't get the tests that they need in their state. The federal government didn't give them what was promised. Same for other Democratic governors, too. So it's not a unique problem for Illinois and New York. It's just that, that Governor Cuomo and I may be louder voices on this subject. The fact, though, is that the federal government, aside from the promises and broken promises coming from the White House, the federal government overall has been very good to us. The Army Corps of Engineers, FEMA, and HHS all have been working together to do things that have been very beneficial for the state of Illinois. But what we're not getting is what the White House is saying that we're getting, which is testing. We're not. We're having to do that all on our own. And every state is challenged to get that done.
Well, you mentioned we need three things to open up the economy: testing in place, trace and track people, and the curve bending. How do we trace and track after the testing?
That's a great question. So this is a very interesting problem that we have, right? Because when you talk about having, as we had yesterday, about 1,500 or 1,600 people, report on one day, right? Those are 1,500 or 1,600 people, each of whom had contacts with people in the prior several days, some of them with tens of dozens of people, you know? And so, within the context of that, how do you get a hold of, just multiply, 1,600 by 10, right? You're talking about 16,000 people, and that's one day's worth of contacts of people who tested positive for COVID. So the answer is it's very difficult to track when you get to numbers like this. But the state of Massachusetts, and that's, again, how the governors are working together, the state of Massachusetts actually came up with a contact tracing collaborative where they are bringing 1,000 people together, or not together, but they've hired 1,000 people to basically make all the calls to all the contacts to make sure that all those people know what their options are in terms of quarantining at home, who they might see as a healthcare provider, and so on if they have problems. So that's something that I talked to Governor Baker of Massachusetts about, and then I talked to Partners in Health, which is an institution I've had a prior relationship with and that happens to be running that for Massachusetts, and we're now going to be doing it here in the state of Illinois. We've only just begun that effort, but we're going by the playbook that was put in place in Massachusetts.
How often do you talk to Governor Cuomo of New York?
I probably talk to him, once a week, maybe. A lot of times I'm calling him because they've had some terrible days, and I just wanted to, give him a little bit of moral support. And sometimes we talk about, how we're going to respond to some of the challenges we have going forward. And then, of course, I talked to him very early on about how we're going to respond to the president wanting to open everything up immediately on May 1, when, it's highly unlikely that most states could really do that. And so that's when both of us, decided that we needed to create some regional collaboratives with states in our area. And that's what we did here with, Michigan and Minnesota and Ohio and,
right,
and Kentucky and so on.
I watch your press conferences every single day. We carry them live here on WGN. Dr. Nzeke is a rock star. The fact that she's got to come out every day and talk about death, that has to take a toll on her.
She is. Thank you for acknowledging her. She is just spectacular. And, when you put a cabinet together and you hire someone to be your Department of Public Health director, that they're expert, but you don't know that they can present to the public, at a press conference every day for 42 days straight, basically, other than Easter Sunday. And she just is, she's a great communicator. She cares deeply, and she's just the perfect person in this circumstance. I feel very lucky.
How hard was it for you, knowing you have two teen sons, to say kids are going to stay home until the rest of the year?
Yeah, I have it's a son and a daughter, just to give my daughter credit for...
Yes.
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, honestly, just like all of us, right, they want to get outside. They want to go, see their friends. They want to go to school. And for most parents, the fact that we need to, to keep people at home, kids at home learning online, was not something I relished deciding about, but it is necessary, and it's mostly necessary to keep the kids safe and the teachers and superintendents and all the rest of the adults, the paraprofessionals that work at these schools. So, it was a disappointing thing for me to have to announce, but my kids understand. They unfortunately, I come home every day and, they hear me talking about this all night long, because I'm on the phone with people all over the country and all over the state.
Right.
So I'm lucky they're understanding, my whole family.
Do we see baseball at Wrigley and Sox Park this summer?
I don't know. I mean, I'd love to give you an answer. Obviously, we've all missed opening days, you know, and now I'm hopeful. I just am. But you know, there's something when you were talking earlier about what the precursors are, what the foundational things are for us to open up the economy. There's one thing that would really change the game, and that's a treatment, a therapy, or even several therapies that would be proven and allowed to be distributed widely. And today there aren't any, but there are 70 of them in trials around the United States and around the world. And if one of those, or two or three of those, proved to be effective, it would change the game. So when we think about, you know, gatherings of large groups of people, like at a ballpark, you know, if we knew that people's symptoms would not lead them to end up in the hospital or in an ICU bed, I mean, that changes things. If getting sick just meant you could convalesce at home and it wouldn't threaten your life, you know, I think we all would say, okay, now's an opportunity maybe for us to open things up more.
And last question. I know you have a press conference in 42 minutes. Last question. We all have a go-to person or go-to people that we bounce ideas off of. Do you have a rabbi, a mentor, another governor that you talk to on a regular basis? Who's your go-to person to bounce things off of?
You know, I'd love to tell you there's one person. There isn't, because so many, you know, we have so many different topics here, right? We're talking about, I need to talk to experts in epidemiology and the science involved here. I need to talk to people who have a strong sense of the broad economic effects here and what we need to do to mitigate those. I need to talk to people who are rational about how we reopen the economy, you know, what comes first, and how do we change the executive orders. And then, you know, my own staff, who are terrific at their jobs, and I'm very consultative with them as well. So I'd love to answer you that there's one person, but let me just say that the governors around the nation have become allies in this effort, and I want to credit them. I talk to a lot of them from, you know, whether we're talking about, you know, Maryland or Massachusetts or California or Indiana. You know, I talk to all of these governors, and they give, you know, good advice, and I hope I give them good advice.
Governor, you're the best. Thank you for taking time. I know we've been talking for a few weeks to get you on the radio. I'm glad we could finally make it happen, and hopefully moving forward, we can check in a few weeks.
I look forward to that, Pete, and thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.